It is December, and I am preaching a series of sermons on the coming of Christ into the world. But it is also a Sunday when we are remembering the death of Christ on the cross of Calvary through communion. And so I thought this morning we would look specifically at verses 16 and 17, some of the most familiar verses in the Bible, and just look at what they teach us, both about the coming of Christ and the death of Christ. Let me just read those verses to you again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Just two things briefly this morning before we come around the Lord's table. Two things from those two verses. The first thing that I want us to notice, a very obvious point, God sent his Son into a sinful world. God sent his Son into a sinful world. These verses are so familiar to us, and coming round the Lord's table is such a familiar matter to us. And even Christmas, after we've been alive for many years, even Christmas begins to become rather jaded and rather familiar. We go through all the old motions and we do the things that we normally do at Christmas time. Do you know, yesterday I actually went into Bristol to do some shopping, and even as I was going, I was saying to myself, are you sure you're in your right mind? You're actually going to do some Christmas shopping. Well, I did go and do some Christmas shopping. Well, these are things that are all familiar to us. And in the familiarity of things, there is that danger that we lose the wonder of Christmas and the wonder of the cross. And here in this statement, I'm just trying to summarize the wonder of Christmas. God sent his Son into a sinful world. Adam and Eve fell into sin. And Adam and Eve had children. And their children inherited their sin. And their children inherited their sinful nature. When Cain was born, and Abel was born, and Seth was born, they were born with sin in them. They were born guilty before God, and they were born with a sin nature. They were born with hearts of sin. They were born with hearts that were biased towards sin. Sin comes naturally to us human beings. To commit sin, to have sinful thoughts, to speak cruel words, to do things that are rebellion and displeasing to God, that comes naturally to us. This is why we have to teach our children good manners. We have to teach our children to share their toys. We have to teach our children to say please and thank you. Because selfishness and sin comes naturally to them. But actually good manners and consideration for others is something we have to teach. So sin has come into this world, and God watched sin as it began to take a grip on this world. He saw from Adam and Eve and from their children sin beginning to spread. This small start, just two people sinned. And then that sin began to spread and spread. And as children were born, and grandchildren, great-grandchildren, all of them born with this sin nature. And so sin, like this terrible virus, like this terrible disease, spread through all the earth. Every human being on earth, sinful, biased towards sin, sin in the heart, guilty before God, rebellious against God, rejoicing in sin, celebrating sin, loving sin, and against the will of God. And God looked upon this world. Now we have to remember that God's heart is filled with mercy and compassion and grace and love. That is the natural flow, that is the natural bias in God's heart. Just as the human heart is biased towards sin, so God's heart is biased towards love and grace and mercy and compassion. Now, God does judge. I'm not in any way denying the judgment of God. God is just and God is holy and God judges sin. But when you examine the scriptures, you find that there is this inward bias in God and his heart is biased towards love and grace. You read in the Old Testament, for example, it says he delights in mercy. Nowhere in the Bible does it say he delights in judgment. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that when somebody goes into hell, the angels of God rejoice. But it does say when one sinner repents, there is rejoicing in heaven among the angels. And it does say that God is love. Nowhere does it say God is hatred. But it does say God is love. And it does say in the Bible that judgment is his strange work. That's a text in Isaiah. And Isaiah says this. He says, when God judges, yes, God judges, but it's a strange work. It's a work that is not natural to him. His heart is biased towards love. Jeremiah was surveying the destruction of Jerusalem. Nebuchadnezzar had come. And Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed the walls of Jerusalem. And he had destroyed the temple of Jerusalem. And all ruins around him. And Jeremiah surveyed these ruins. And Jeremiah speaks about the judgment of God. And Jeremiah says this, God does not judge from the heart. Isn't that a strange phrase? In fact, he's addressing God at that point. And he says to God, you do not judge from the heart. Yes, you brought the Babylonians to judge us because we had gone into idolatry. Yes, we deserved your judgment. And yes, everything that happened to us were just deserts. But your heart wasn't in it. You do not judge from the heart, says Jeremiah. So God's heart is filled with love, compassion and mercy. And God looks at this world where sin has taken control and sin now controls and rules people's lives. And because God's heart is filled with grace and mercy and compassion, God cannot turn away from this sinful, rebellious world. He cannot. His heart will not allow him to turn away. God must reach out to a sinful world in mercy and grace and compassion. That is his heart. That is his nature. He must reach out to a world in need. Now please remember this. This is the message of Christmas. God will never abandon anyone who is in need. God will never turn away from anyone who is in distress, who is in anxiety, who is in illness, who is in trouble of any kind. God's heart will not allow him to turn away from anyone. God's nature is such, God's heart is such that he is moved in pity and compassion. And God is moved by the plight of people, regardless of how wicked they are and how rebellious they are and how determined they are to be rebellious against him. God is moved by the effects of sin. And God watched the world and all the effects of sin, illness and anxiety and depression and distress and trouble and death, all these things as they came into the world. God watched it and his heart was moved in pity, compassion, mercy and grace, because God is always moved by suffering. When you switch on your television and you watch suffering somewhere, Afghanistan has been the latest, but there have been so many. You watch people suffering, you watch refugees, you watch children starving, you watch women crying, you watch teenage children starving. Your heart is moved. I can't bear to watch these pictures. Your heart is moved. Now, why is your heart moved? Why is your heart like that? How come you can't say, I don't care about these people. I hope that they die soon or something like that. And you switch off the television and you continue the rest of your day completely unmoved. How come you can't do that? How come it's impossible to do that? Well, because you've been created in the image of God. Your heart has been created in the image of God's heart. What you see in your heart is what is in God's heart. Because we are told God created us in His image. This is why we're moved by suffering. This is why we have compassion upon people who are suffering. Because God is like that. So if you're ever in distress, you're in illness, you're lying on your bed in the middle of the night in pain and in distress, some kind of anxiety, some kind of illness. Please remember this. This is the message of Christmas, that God is always moved by suffering. God's heart goes out to anyone who is in distress and trouble, in any kind of pain, any kind of illness. God's heart is always moved. God is always filled with mercy and pity and compassion towards those. God cannot turn away from them. Look at the life that Jesus lived. Jesus came to this earth. In our prayer meeting this morning, we read one of my, I know I always say this is my favorite verse, but this really is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. And it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace." Full of grace. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus came to this earth. The Word became flesh. And Jesus' heart was filled with praise, with grace. There was no room anywhere in Jesus' heart for anything else. When something is full, it's full. You take this glass and you fill it to the brim with water. It's full now. There's no room for anything in it. And Jesus' heart was filled with grace. That's what the text says. And you look at Jesus' works, and Jesus' heart is filled with grace. His works show this. He sees this woman of Samaria. She's had 5 husbands, and the man that she's living with now is not her husband. He doesn't condemn her. He doesn't rant at her. He doesn't start quoting the law to her. He doesn't start shouting at her and calling her an adulteress or anything like that. He offers to her the living water of life. They bring to her this woman who has been caught in the act of adultery. Caught in the act of adultery. He doesn't condemn her. He says to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." He's walking through Jericho, and blind Bartimaeus calls out to him, "Son of David, have mercy upon him." He doesn't say, "I haven't got time for some blind beggar." Oh, for goodness sake, you're bringing blind beggars to me? He doesn't say that. He says, "Bring him to me. Bring him to me." And they say to Bartimaeus, "He's calling you." You see, he's moved with pity. He heard that cry, "Son of David, have mercy upon me." He heard it. And he says, "Somebody is in need." His heart is immediately moved. "I want to see this person. There's a person in need. I must deal with this person. Bring them to me." And every incident where Jesus, he looks at lepers, he looks at those who are lame. He looks at those who are blind, those who are deaf, even those who have died. And he looks at the suffering caused by death. And Jesus' heart is moved. He goes to the place where Lazarus has been laid to rest. And he looks at people weeping. Jesus wept. God sent his Son into a sinful world because God's heart is filled with love, mercy, compassion, and grace towards those who are suffering. Always remember this. You're in distress, you're anxious, you're worried, you're ill, you're in pain, you are mourning. Remember this. God's heart is moved by your plight. The second thing I want to say from this text is this, that Christ came to save a sinful world. Christ came to save a sinful world. I wanted to look at Christmas and I wanted to look at the cross in my sermon, which is why I picked on verses 16 and 17. And those verses talk about Jesus' coming, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And they speak about his work. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the apex, this is the height of Christ's compassion. He lives for 33 years here on earth, and he lives a life filled with compassion and mercy and grace and love towards all. Particularly the last 3 years that we know of, we see this in very sharp detail, don't we? His love and his mercy. He lives this life of compassion. And then he dies upon that cross. Because he knows that we are sinners, there has to be a death if we are to be saved from our sin. There has to be a sacrifice if we are to be forgiven. There has to be blood shed if we are to be cleansed. There has to be somebody hanging on a cross, taking our sins upon himself, if we are to have the wrath of God removed from us. And so Jesus died on that cross of Calvary. And the death of Jesus is the most wonderful event in the history of the world. Because as Jesus hung upon that cross, our sins were laid upon him. God took this enormous burden, sin of all his people, millions and millions and millions and millions of God's people. God takes their sin and God lays it upon his son. And God punishes his own son. God's wrath is poured out upon his own son. God turns his face away from his son, the one whom he has loved in eternity. God turns his face away from him. And the son bears the penalty for our sin. And the son clears our guilt and clears our sin and redeems us from slavery to sin and removes the anger of God that was upon us. Have you trusted Jesus Christ for your salvation? If you have, you are blessed. Because your sins have been removed. Your guilt has been cleared. You have been washed in the blood of Jesus. You have been forgiven all your iniquity, all your trespasses. You have been removed out of the kingdom of darkness, out of the kingdom of sin. You've been brought into the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of the Son whom he loves. And you are today a beloved child of God. All because Jesus came, Jesus lived, Jesus died, Jesus rose from the dead. Nothing to do with you. You must never trust in yourself. You must never say, I was born to Christian parents. I go to church. I live a decent moral life. I'm an upright person. Surely I will enter heaven. No, you won't. If you say, Christ is my Lord, Christ is my Savior, Christ died for me, Christ rose again for me, and Christ lives for me today, and Christ is preparing me for heaven, you will enter. It is Christ and Christ alone who saves. No other way of salvation. Jesus Christ alone. And Christ came to save a sinful world. So the message of Christmas, God sent his Son into a sinful world because his heart is filled with compassion towards the suffering. And the message of the cross, Christ came to save a sinful world. All our sins placed upon him, and he paid the penalty and removed the guilt and saved us from our sin. Well, praise God for Christmas and praise God for the cross.